life is your home church, say amen. Well, I'm going to be brief with the word this morning, but I'm speaking as it relates to membership in the local church and even the greater picture, membership in the body of Christ. And the highlight of our service will be receiving new members in just a few minutes. I'm going to begin with Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and it reads like this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, listen to this, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about the power of our position and hopefully understand a little more about what it means to be in Christ. How many blessings with our names on it have passed right by us because we did not understand the power of our position? It's possible to have faith in Christ and to believe on Him as Lord and Savior and still fall short of understanding the power of the position we're given in Christ. Now, to be in Christ is to be seated right next to Him. Now, that's a shocking statement, and it's untraditional. Many people think that there is God the Father, and then there is Jesus the Son, and both of them are so far elevated above our existence in life that we cannot properly relate to them. And thank God we have had the revelation that the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead Trinity, is relatable to us. He is in the earth and in fact dwells in us. But that's not entirely true nor doctrinal. The truth is, God the Father is in heaven and Jesus is there too, but already now, spiritually, we are equal with Jesus in position because we are in Christ. It's getting better. I'm trying not to blaspheme this morning, so stay with me. I'm not preaching false doctrine or heresy. We are in Christ. Wherever He is, we've been seated right next to Him in heavenly places. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to enjoy our position of being in Christ. And to be in Christ spiritually is to be seated right next to Him. That's our spiritual position, and we're talking about the power of our position this morning. Now, many blessings, this is a true statement about my life and yours. Many blessings have come to me simply because I was in position. That's the story of my life, and if you look closely at your life, you'll see that's your story too. From the time I was a boy, growing up, I can look back now and see that because of my relationship to God and to the body of Christ, I've always been blessed by being in position. When it came time for a door to open in my life, one of the first was when I was 18 and I got a call that changed my life from the king of gospel music. I won't call his name. But he did not know me, and I did not know him personally. But I knew somebody who knew him, and they were the connection. And because I was in position and connected to somebody who knew somebody, that door swung open wide. And every door that's opened for me in my life, and in yours if you look closely, you will realize, most of the time at least, it is because of a connection you have by being in the position where you are. The same is true. Fast forward a few years, and I met Bishop Houston Miles. At that time, he was pastor of the largest church in South Carolina in Spartanburg, Evangel Cathedral. Brenda and I attended that church for the 10 years we lived in Spartanburg, and he was our pastor from the age of 18 for me, right on up until this very moment. And when God has moved greatly in my life to open doors, it's been because I've been in position and I've been connected, not only seated with Christ right next to him in heavenly places, but even in the natural, my connection to the body of Christ, the local church, has benefited me. Many blessings have come to me simply because I was in position. And when we understand the power of our position in Christ, we understand blessings come with the territory. If you are in Christ, and if you understand the power of your position of being in Christ, then blessings track you down, catch up with you, and overtake you. You don't have to go on the hunt for goodness and mercy. The Bible said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall come following after me. I've had that experience. Every good and perfect gift is from God. And if we're in Christ, we're just as close to the Father as Jesus is. You're with me on that? Some people think, well, God and Jesus, and we're way, way, way at a distance. Don't think that way. And if that is your experience, you can grow up a little and have greater understanding of your position. If we are in Christ, in him, then we are equally close to the Father as he is, because we're in him. Somebody needs to start shouting around here before. The people who are at home watching, they're shouting all over the dining room table right now. But if you're in Christ, the power of being in that position mandates that blessings simply come with the territory of being in Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. Just a small portion of what the Bible says about being in Christ and the power of that position. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and 50% of things have become new. 99% of the things are new. All things, if you're in Christ. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him. The Bible says the Lord always causes us to triumph in him. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. The Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of the world. The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The Bible says in him we live and breathe and have our being. My, the power of that position of being in him. The Bible says in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. I mean, we're not shortchanged a bit if we're in him. Let's learn about the power of being positioned in Christ. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes in him and in him, amen. That's twice in him right there. Coming and going, getting up and laying down in the city and in the country. If you're in him, then all of his promises are yes in him and so be it in him. Now get the picture. Imagine yourself seated right next to Jesus. That's a powerful position. And we are there right now. It's just like being in the presence of God. What tangible presence we have here corporately during praise and worship and during our time together on Sundays. It's a corporate, collective anointing. We all bring a part to the house of God. And then when we all get together and unleash our worship corporately, you can feel it. It's tangible. It's the presence of God. But you don't have to wait until you die and go to heaven to be in the presence of God. And neither do we have to wait until we die and go to heaven before we're seated in a position of power, being seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Now in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you're a child of God, say amen real loud.
Amen.
Next verse. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God, whatever's in his will comes to us. And then there's Jesus, joint heirs with him, joint heirs. Those words are powerful. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, I've made this statement before. I want to dig a little deeper on this point this morning. There was a time when Jesus was God's only son. But then because of the price Jesus paid, all of us now are sons and daughters of God. And there is no way to be an heir of God without being a joint heir with Christ. You follow me? No way. Some people have the faith and the understanding that takes them only so far and leaves them there. It would be something like this. Oh, I'm an heir of God. I have no trouble with that. No trouble. But they may have a problem embracing the next step, and that is being equal in inheritance, a joint heir with Christ. Now, we've got to start thinking that way. It's like this. I'm the oldest of my siblings. And there was a time when Carl was the only son of Harry. That's right. But then Deborah and Mike, my sister and brother, came along. Now, I am no longer the only son of Harry. I'm one of several, two sons and a daughter. But not only am I an heir of Harry, but I'm a joint heir now with my sister and my brother. Now, there's no way, since there are three of us, there's no way to be an heir of Harry, Deborah, Mike, without being a joint heir with Carl. So everything the Father has coming to me, I share equally with you. Now, there was a time when Jesus was the only Son of God. Now Jesus is the firstborn of many sons.
Amen.
I'm the firstborn. There are more now. Do you think Harry loves his other children less than he loves me? That was an opportunity, Mr. Harry. Sir, you're just listening. Now, I know he doesn't love me more because Deborah and Mike think that he loves Deborah the best. And me and Deborah think he loves Mike the best. And the two of them may think he loves me the best. But if you want to know if Harry loves me less than you, ask him after church. But he's a good father. And so everything he has in his heart for me, I receive. But I'm a joint heir with my brother and my sister. They share equally with me everything the Father has. Now, Jesus is the firstborn son of many sons and daughters. Do you think the Father loves all of his other sons and daughters less than he loves Jesus? Do you think the Father would say to the Son, you're my favorite forever. I'm going to be close to you. I'm going to take care of you. We're all in this together, but now I'm going to keep all my other that you died for. I'm going to keep them way at the back of the line because you're more special to me than, no, once we become children of God, this is what we are, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's the power of our position. Now listen, this is not heresy. Positionally, there is an equality with Jesus granted to us. An equality with Jesus. Positionally. We're seated right next to him already right now in heavenly places. We need to get used to that and embrace it and make the most of the power of our position of being in Christ. Now, when the Father looks at me or you, he sees just as much righteousness as he sees when he looks at Jesus. Not because we've earned it, but because Jesus, the firstborn, has made provision and part of the new birth experience and part of the power of our position in Christ is we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the benefits of being in Christ, we know very little. Our existence, our experience in this life is minimal and far beneath the standard that's available to us if we understood the power of our position and what it really means to be joint heirs, equal with Christ. Everything the Father has for his firstborn son is shared equally with all of the rest of us. And when God, the Father, looks at us, he sees the same value in us that he sees when he looks at Jesus. The same value. Well, there's so many confirmations of, so many ways to prove that in Scripture. But I'll just say it like this. You know the value of a thing by the price that was paid for it. And so look at yourself in the mirror and realize when God looks at you, he thought you were just as valuable as Jesus because he gave his only son Jesus so that he could have you and me in his family. So we're seated right now. Here's the challenge of life on earth, and it happens the minute we're born, and then it escalates the moment we're born again by the Spirit. And that is, even though we have the power of our position, our challenge in life is to get the circumstances of our condition to match the power of our position. Now, I'll have to admit that the circumstances of my condition don't always match the power of my position. Condition, position. So all of our life, we're working with God, the Holy Spirit, to align our circumstances, our condition, to where it could be a perfect mirror of our position. Now, when we take that final step and enter into heaven, then everything's perfect there. Our condition and our position will be the same. It's in this life that we face that challenge. Now, our condition. You can look around at your condition. It's not equal to your position in Christ, probably. So we're working on that. That's what this life is about. There's a song, I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. Who sang it, Lawrence? Wasn't it?
The new edition, whose lead singer was
Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers in the new edition. The first edition. Okay. Lawrence is showing his age. Thought I was the only one that would remember that, but I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. And it made sense back then. And it still does today. Sometimes I think God drops into our life just to see how we're doing, trying to get the circumstances of our condition elevated to match the power of our position. But positionally, we're seated right beside Jesus in heavenly places. And shifting gears quickly for just a moment, not only are we seated right beside Jesus in heavenly places, but in addition to that, while we're in this earth journey, we are placed in a local church. That's the will of God. Being a member of a local church, a spiritual family, a faith community, puts you in a position to where if you don't know who you need to know, you know somebody in the body who does know somebody you need to know. It's the power of being in position and especially placed in a local church. Pastor Steve Osborne is one of the greatest at this. If you need anything done, and if you don't know who can do it, if you know Steve, you know somebody who knows somebody. He has a gift. I mean, if you need anything done and you don't know who to call, you know somebody who knows everybody. Chances are, if you call him asking for, do you know who's a good plumber? He'll say, I'm on the way myself. It's worked that way before. I shouldn't have advertised that. But once we know the power of our position spiritually, being seated right next to Jesus in heavenly places, then as long as we live our natural life in the earth, our closest connection to that spiritual position is our connection to the local body of Christ. And we are pro-body. The Bible says God is for the body. And we are living stones. When you think of church, like the video just said, do you think of carpet and walls and bricks and mortar and a roof and chairs? No. When I think of church, I think of family. I think of fellowship. I think of everything that sustains life and makes it so much better. So we are called not only to believe, and that's a revelation we all have of our position in Christ, but not only called to believe, but also called to belong. And that's where our spiritual family comes in. The local church becomes our spiritual family. Now, just before we receive new members here in the church, powerful verse of scripture, and all of us need to believe it. If you believe this is the truth before I even read it, say amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 18, God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. So the fact that I am at Abundant Life Church in this local, there are 300,000 churches in the United States alone. But the fact that I am here in this local church, a part of this local body, is a sign that God has carefully placed me here because this is exactly where he wants me to be. And the fact that you are here at Abundant Life, you need to claim this and believe it for your own self. God has carefully placed you. You're one part of the body, but he has carefully placed you right here because it's right where he wants you. Now, we can start with that and realize I'm already so far along in the will of God because he's the one who has placed me here, and he placed me here because this is exactly where he wants me to be, at least for this season of my life. God brought you here. There are many other churches, and by the way, I don't know any bad churches. We have people who come for a season. We understand God works in seasons. There have been times people have come to our church, and they've come from an experience that was harmful, or they have come in wounded, needed healing, and they were so happy to see us, and we were happy to see them, and they were here for a while and got healed from whatever scars life had brought their way. And then at some future point in time, the Lord released them from this local body and sent them on to another one. We've always blessed them. Blessings as you come in and blessings as you go out. And I don't know of a bad church. I hear there might be some. But honestly, I know about every pastor in town. I don't pray against any church. I mean, if they are, and that's another thing too, along with our position, the power of our position should show mutual respect to every other church. We're not the only thing God's doing. We're just one. The church down the street, and after that, every block, all over, and next county, next state, all over the country, every other local church that preaches Christ, and every other man and woman who is born again, believing in Christ, we have great respect and pray for one another, not against one another. It's the power of our position. God has you right where he wants you. Now, your life would be a lot better if you believed it and acted like it. When he's ready to move you, you will know it. He will. Daniel 2:21, God changes the times and the seasons. So when seasons change, you'll know it, and he'll confirm it, and we will bless you as he moves you from one season to another. There's not been, I did hear about bad pastors one time. I did hear this story a long time, that a pastor was so controlling over his people that when any one of them wanted to leave the church, and this is a true story, he would pronounce a curse over them privately. And when they met with him or called him and said, you know, the Lord's leading me to another church. I did hear a story one time where the pastor, predicted, I won't say prophesied, but predicted all kind of evil, that children were going to go astray, they were going to get some horrible disease, they were going to die within a year, and their marriage was going to fall apart, things like that. Hey, please, you know better. I never have done that. Oh, I don't even believe in that. I have respect for the power of my position and yours. And so we're all in this together. Now listen, Ephesians 4:16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part, everybody say, I'm a part. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. It helps the other, when each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Now, we're not reaching out and touching people a lot around here today, but we can talk to one another. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm helping you grow. That's what the Bible says. If you know the power of your position of being in Christ and you're connected, especially to the local church, not only called to believe, but also to belong to a spiritual family, then God has a purpose for you being here. And that is, you will do your special part and make all the rest of the church grow. So that the ultimate picture of the local church is, we're whole, we're healthy, growing, and full of love. And then Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 4, that same chapter, that when we all grow up and become of full stature, we will no longer be tossed to and fro like children with every wind of doctrine that starts blowing. We won't be misled by a false doctrine as it blows through the church. That the New Living Translation says it like this: then we will no longer be immature like children. No longer, there's something to be said about the power of our position as we grow up in Christ. We all come in like babies into the kingdom of God, like babies. Oh, give us only milk, please. Give us the milk of the word. We will choke to death if you throw a strong meat steak out there in front of them. We're babies. We can only, but milk is so wonderful for little babies to help them start growing. Then as we get older, I still like milk every now and then. Mine on the rocks, usually at night with some peanut butter cookies. Still like my milk. But I am so thankful for when I can get me about a 24-ounce Outlaw ribeye steak, bone in. I mean, now that would have killed me if Daddy had shoved that down my throat when I was a day old. But he gave me milk. That's what I needed. But we all grow up to the point that we are no longer immature like children. I like the way the Message translation says it. No prolonged infancies among us, please. That's the sign of a healthy church, a whole church where every member understands the power of their position in Christ and the benefit of belonging to a local church.